Greetings, grave diggers, and welcome to the television graveyard. We are your TV forecasters, TV's Noah Houlihan and Laura Prince. We have gathered here this afternoon to see what available plots are here in the 2024 season of television and see who will be among us very soon. With me today is Laura Prince.
You know what? I hate it.
You hate? Why? I thought that was really clever.
It's grave robbers.
Yeah, but we're not robbing any graves today.
But like we...
Right now, we are simply looking at the empty plots of land of soon-to-be-canceled television to see if the show that we decided to watch the pilot of will soon be buried here in the television graveyard.
Yeah.
And I dug that hole.
Yeah.
And I want credit for that. So I'm a grave digger.
All right. You're very good at digging holes.
Thank you.
Like a Labrador.
Today, on what we are calling the Stay Doomed Forecast, we are taking a look at Deal or No Deal Island. We're doing this for a few reasons. One...
What if we called it the Stay Doomsday Clock?
The Stay Doomsday Clock!
Yeah! All right,
that's what we'll call this from now on.
Yeah!
The Stay Doomsday Clock. So we are looking at the Stay Doomsday Clock that is ticking away for Deal or No Deal Island. We're doing this for a couple reasons. One... it's past episode 200 now, so we're kind of experimenting with new formats that we wanted to do. We've been around for a while, and we've earned the right to do that. Two, according to the Stay Doomed questionnaire that we do at the end of every season, one thing that was requested repeatedly was kind of to cover what's currently going on in current events, to not always be diving back to the 1970s to find a pilot that no one saw. And to, on occasion, see what's currently on TV and kind of give our thoughts on it.
Also, to be able to have a conversation with people in the real world sometimes. Because otherwise,
yeah.
People are asking us, and like, well, I didn't really do a real show. Do you want my opinions on a 30-year-old pilot?
Yeah. It's tough when everyone's talking about, like, Better Call Saul. And we're like, we watch Sticking Around. Do you guys remember Stick Around? we're going to get into I keep wanting to say Stay Doomed Island. I don't know why. Before we get into it, let's salute the future. So Laura has purchased a spiced Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And we thought, we've gotten rid of the pour one out segment, and we're not really pouring one out, so maybe we thought we would cheers to the future here with this drink that we may or may not decide should be doomed. I was, like, looking on the can to see if there's, like, a story or anything about it.
No, it's not one of the ones that's, like, built by AI or any crap like that.
No, it's just spiced. Do you want to go first? All right.
I didn't want this.
Laura is making a face and handing the drink back to me.
Liquefied slushy.
Liquefied slushy.
Blue.
Ooh, blue. I like blue. Yeah.
Melted blue raspberry icy.
Melted blue raspberry icy, but with a Coke on top. Like, I definitely taste the Coca-Cola.
Like, if you mix blue and Coke-flavored slushies... And then it melts a little bit in the car. That's what you get.
Yeah, that is exactly what that is. Know what I would not call it? Spicy.
No.
It does say that it is a zero-calorie Coke raspberry spiced. I don't know why spice is the word that they would use here. It would be raspberry flavoring. So blue raspberry with Coke slush. That's exactly what this is.
It's not, like, bad. It's not really, like, what I want from a soda.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's kind of like, by the time I'm done, the story's going to be over, and I'm not going to want another one of these.
No.
I think everything you need from this soda is contained in a single can.
Yes.
And then it can go away forever, so it's a Stay Doomed for me. So, let's get into Deal or No Deal Island. So, we've taken the beloved game... Deal or No Deal. And we've added a bunch of reality show concepts to it. We have a stack of players and the guy who played Flash Thompson in Spider-Man as our host.
Yeah, Joe Mangiello.
And the basic concept is only one person will get to play for the grand prize at the end of this.
The game you know and love is back. This time on the Banker's Private Island. It's a whole new game with a lot more money. Welcome to Deal or No Deal Island.
And all of the show is building towards that grand prize.
Yes.
So, we have some famous contestants. One of the contestants is a former Deal or No Deal model.
I was a model on Deal or No Deal. I know what a good deal is. I know what a bad deal is.
And
yeah.
She actually says, like, I'm trying to keep that under wraps because I'm afraid people will think that I have an advantage because I'm so familiar with the game. What is she talking about? What expert strategies are there for Deal or No Deal that you would pick up on after standing next to a suitcase for hours?
Oh.
Exactly. Like, this reminds me, I went to a casino, and I was gambling, and I was told to move. And I was like, why? I was like, well, this area is for the slots tournament. This is where the professional slots players play. The professional slots players.
Yes.
Like, some guy was going to come up, watch me playing a slot machine, and go, too hard, stupid. That's going to be a 7 cherry bar. See? Told you. Terrible technique.
Yeah, like, a slot machine is by its nature random.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe if you, I don't know, figure out how to game it.
You can't. It's dumb. Another one of the contestants is Boston Rob.
And here comes Boston Rob.
I want to figure out a way to control the game. And that's it.
Are you familiar with Boston Rob?
Yeah, he was on like every single reality show for a while.
Yes, he was.
He married Amber. Like, he was like a lovebird situation with Amber on Survivor.
Yes.
But they were awful. They were just like bad people together.
Yes. Like, they were a perfect yin-yang of evil that got together.
Yeah.
I believe Boston Rob has never won Survivor, but he's done 6 seasons of Survivor. But Amber has won, and he married Amber.
Yes.
He also had a reality show on G4 called, like, Amber and Rob Do Vegas that ends with them getting the call to do The Amazing Race. And they did The Amazing Race, which I think they're runner-ups. I don't think they win The Amazing Race. They are. They're runner-ups at The Amazing Race.
That's pretty good still.
Yeah. It's like they are professional reality show players. And he is like a famous reality show villain. And now here he is again in Deal or No Deal Island. And he's like in a car with, I believe his name was Aaron. He is basically what a stereotypical person would draw a nerd.
So I originally did accounting. I'm more in like finance now.
Okay.
I'm not an outdoors guy. I'm pale as hell.
Yes.
Like, he's got glasses. He's got like a bad lisp. He's got, he can't say his R's.
And he's physically very unassuming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he looks like if you were typecasting on The Big Bang Theory unkindly.
Yeah. So Rob and him immediately form an alliance because he's an accountant, so he's good at numbers, but he's not good at the outdoorsy stuff. And Boston Rob has been on Survivor, but he's not good at the number stuff, so they immediately form a coalition.
Two types of games. There's the games where we get backstabbed by Boston Rob, or you backstab Boston Rob. They say keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. I'm not sure which one he is, but we're keeping him close either way.
So now we got to get into gameplay. And this is where I get frustrated. the game they have to play is get the cases out of the mud.
Yes.
That's the whole game. Is there are muddy cases of various dollar amounts. And you have to get it out of the mud pit. And if you can only bring back one case. If you bring back the case with the least dollar amount in it, you have to play Deal or No Deal against the banker.
Yeah.
And you're playing Deal or No Deal with the cases you find. So you want to have a better board, so you want to find the big number cases. And you want everyone to have a big number case.
Yeah.
But as like a fun twist, there are two red cases in the mud.
There's a steal?
Yeah, one of them has a steal, which means you can steal anyone's briefcase. And the other is a low amount. They don't say what it is, but it's a low amount. So it's a 50-50 chance if you grab a red case. So the game is kind of... It's a weird bag of... It's hard to describe, because I've never seen a game like this. Everyone's trying to get a case, but they're like stuck in the mud and moving very slowly. So there's this weird... It's a co-opetition. Where yeah. It is people saying, like, how big is your case? Because someone... You can only take one case. So if you're trouncing through the mud and you find 600,000 and 500,000, you can't take both. But you want both there.
Yeah.
So it is helpful.
So you're yelling at the next person. If they found $5, you're like, hey.
Yeah, here, let's switch. But then there's also the danger of if people know how much money you have and someone grabs the steal, they might steal it from you.
Yeah, and there's also an older woman, and she struggles intensely with all of this.
Yeah, she basically falls in the mud and stays there.
Yeah, like one player gets her a case and then Boston Rob and somebody else help her out.
Yeah, like she needs assistance to get out. So it's also important that the briefcases say what the money, how much is on there. It's up to the players to try to hide it or be honest or whatever.
Yeah.
But when they all get to the dock, they take the money amounts off and now everyone has a blank briefcase. So everybody has a briefcase and makes it to the dock. And Flash Thompson's like, I noticed that nobody grabbed a red case.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to take that risk.
Yeah. I don't think the dealer's going to like that. And the dealer calls up and offers 10 grand to anyone that goes back in and gets a red case.
Now, is this 10 grand directly, or is this 10 grand toward
the kitty? This is important.
Toward the kitty.
It is 10 grand to you personally. Because, again, all of this stuff that's happening is building towards a grand prize that only one person will win. So
right.
You're working as a team so that you can selfishly win all of it later.
Yeah.
The old woman's like, I'll get it. And, like, flops back into the mud. And, like, can't do anything. She's kind of, like, running around the, like, edge of it. Trying
yeah.
to, like, hope that she'll figure out a way to get there. And then we get another character who is a professional poker player.
Yeah.
Who goes, can anyone do this? And he's like, yeah. So he jumps in, grabs the red case, throws it towards the dock, and then gets out and goes, go get your case. So the old woman is able to get this red case.
Even though she was not able to get the previous case.
Yeah, she wasn't able, like, she's coming last in everything. She gets the red case. She gets $10,000 that she will get regardless to what happens on the rest of the show.
Yeah.
So she's the only person so far that's made money.
Yeah.
And she opens up the case, and it is, in fact, the steal.
Which now means, like, the game is... in a very different place.
Yes. So the way it works is the person with the highest number case will send one of the people with the two lowest cases. So if I have a penny there's a chance that the person with the million won't send me.
Yeah.
So she says, tell me if you have the million. I will steal it from you, and I will not send you into the elimination game.
Yeah.
And the guy with the $1 million case goes, sure, I have the million. It gets stolen, and now the $1 million and immunity and all this good stuff is in this old woman's hands.
Yeah.
They then cut to a talking head of her going,
Branson was helping me by pulling that case in. But for this old lady, everything is manipulation. Ah! I am going to run circles around these people. I may be thought of as a villain, but I'm a villain that's willing to own it.
Like, it's all a scam.
Yeah, she goes like, I knew I couldn't play the physical game. Have to play a mental game.
I was like, damn, lady.
We also then see, like, them get sent to their accommodations, and disappointingly, they're in, like, a nice, they're in, like, glamping situations.
Yeah, they're not
in, like...
It's not Survivor.
No, and that would have been a lot cooler if it was.
Yeah. Needless to say, though, the way that game ends...
Oh, sorry.
...is that the person with the lowest number is the guy who gave away the $1 million case.
Yeah.
Because now he has zero. And our nerdy friend.
Aaron, who also was given, like, naturally a crushing backstory.
Yes, yes.
He's an ill family member.
Yes. And because she's good to her word, she's not sending the guy she stole from. So Aaron will have to play Deal or No Deal with the banker.
And I mean, it's also very smart of her because, like, she can't send Dawson to the endgame because then she is annihilated.
Yeah, she immediately destroys her word.
Yeah.
So then we get, like, reality strategy time, where it's reality show people doing reality show things to try to stay in the game and, like, stabbing each other in the back and stuff. The main things that happen are... the poker player that helped the old woman.
Yeah.
Everyone hates him for this.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they liked Aaron. Because, like, she is playing the mental game and trying to look weak.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing that not as a strategy.
It was just...
He looks like you would feel kind of bad bullying him. Like I felt bad watching it.
Right, but my thought is, you're covered in mud.
Yeah.
You're tired from doing all those things. You're standing in the sun. And now you have to wait for... I hate calling her the old woman.
Kim.
You have to wait for Kim to suffer going through the mud, which you wasn't able to do originally, until you guys can leave. Like, the game will not continue until she gets her red case and gets back on the dock. So I think it's a very nice thing for everyone to go, okay, so this is going to inevitably happen. Let's have it take 15 minutes instead of an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But everyone hates him for it.
This is also when the poker player and Kim both blow up Boston Rob's spot.
Yeah.
They're like, that's Rob. That's Boston Rob.
Yeah, I guess I didn't interpret it that way because I was like, oh, yeah, of course it's Boston Rob.
Yeah, like as someone who has heard of Boston Rob but would not have been able to pick him out of a lineup.
Right.
When they were like, it's Boston Rob, I was like, oh, that's Boston Rob. That's right.
We should get rid of him. He's an evil person.
And then, like, I think it's in a talking head. Boston Rob's like,
why is this old lady exposing my past? You can't fool me. She's probably the most dangerous player in the game.
Yo, I'm scared of Kim.
Well, Boston Rob, who has an alliance with Aaron, originally is like, okay, I need to explain the elimination part of this, and I'm going to get real upset about it later. But basically, Aaron's going to have to play Deal or No Deal.
Yeah.
If Aaron makes a bad deal, he will be eliminated. If he makes a good deal, he will choose someone else to be eliminated. And he can choose anyone except for Kim, who has immunity because she had the highest case.
Yeah.
So,
and it's not really like, oh no, I'm sorry. I was going to say, it's not like he'd want to eliminate Kim. And I was like, no, he probably would.
Yeah. So Boston Rob and him kind of have a chat of like, the poker player, we should oust him.
Yeah.
And then later he goes up to Aaron and says, so listen, everyone wants the poker player out. So they're going to want him out tomorrow. So maybe you don't eliminate him. Because if you eliminate a target, that target has to shift to another person. This all kind of makes sense. But the way that eliminations work is already so dumb that like I don't quite buy this.
Making it one player either plays Deal or No Deal and gets out, or just arbitrarily picks unilaterally.
Yeah. And like, then I guess you can argue like, well, that's the social game of it. You have to befriend people so that they don't eliminate you. You have to make yourself seem valuable and, you know, able to get the cases so that they want to keep you. And I get all of that. But what Boston Rob is really doing is like, everybody wants the poker player out. Send someone else out. This way people will still hate the poker player for being here and hate you for not sending the poker player home. That's the real game there.
Yeah.
So then we get to Deal or No Deal time. All the money that they've earned sort of in the mud game is on the right-hand side of the board. That's where the big money is.
Yeah.
And then on the left-hand side, you have a penny to $1,000. And Aaron has to play. And unlike normal Deal or No Deal, where there's like a billion rounds of opening cases, there are 26 cases, I believe, is the lucky number.
Yeah, I think
26
so.
26 or 28. The first round you open 8, the second round you open 7, and then the third round you open 2.
Yeah.
Because you've taken so many off the board. Here is the major problem with this. This game, when it comes to the elimination, it sounds like it makes so much sense. Like, make a good deal or you're eliminated. But what a good deal is means a deal where the money you take from the banker is more than your case, or your case is worth more than what the banker offers you in the last round.
And you decline the offer from
and
the
you
banker.
Decline it. Which means if it comes down to the end, it is always a coin flip.
Yeah.
Because he will always offer you a deal more than the lower number on the board, but less than the higher number of the board. Like, there's never going to be a time where it's like, all right, you have $500,000 and $250,000 up there. We'll offer you $750,000 to sell your case. That will never happen.
Right.
Because that would guarantee a good deal. Which means...
Noah's way more upset about this than I am, yeah. Because I don't care much for Deal or No Deal, so I don't get the gameplay all that well.
Because there's a lot of factors about Deal or No Deal that I understand because I've been a model next to the suitcase for longer. One of the factors...
You know, I legitimately thought you were going to just crack out with a story from college that like...
Yeah, I used to be a Deal or No Deal model.
Like that there was like a mall tour or something.
Because here's the truth about Deal or No Deal. They pretend... like it's you versus the banker. Like you are two players of a game. It's not an even game. Like, it's not a game where you are equally weighted. When you play tennis, the rules are the same for both people.
Yes.
But when you play tag, one person is it and the other person's being chased. It's not a symmetrical game.
Yeah.
They pretend like the banker is playing this game to try to save as much money as possible. That they are running numbers to be like, okay, there's a chance there's $500,000 in there. There's a chance that there's $75 in there. And there's a chance that there's $1,000 in there. Statistically, this is what I want to happen, so it's probably best that I offer this. But that's not what's happening. The banker's game is to try to create the most compelling television.
Yeah.
So the game is...
Because the banker doesn't really get to keep this money.
Exactly.
It's not his money
that he's putting out. So he wants to give you a deal or offer that is high enough that it's a lot of money, but low enough that you'll reject it because he wants you to open more cases. This is very evident in this game because we get to the point where we're down to three cases. There are two high numbers and a low number. Okay? He offers a deal that is less than both of the high numbers, but above the low number by a substantial amount.
Yeah.
It is a lot of money to walk away from. But because of this new rule that it has to be a good deal, chances are it's a bad deal. So it's now forcing him to pick one more case.
Yeah.
There is a 2 out of 3 chance that the deal then goes down because he's going to hit one of those big numbers.
Yeah.
And again, if he knocks out the small number and he's just left with the big numbers, he's not in a better position because it's still going to come down to a coin flip.
Exactly.
The best thing to happen to you if you're playing this is actually on your first go when you open 8 cases that you play badly.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have the penny to 1,000, all right? You keep all those in play. And then you don't touch the million or the 500,000, but you get rid of like 50,000, 100,000, 200,000, 250,000. Like all the middle high amounts. Because then the dealer will offer you a deal that is lower than all the high amounts, which there are less of, but higher than the 14 or so low amounts. Then statistically, it's probably a good deal. The major problem with this game is if you run the numbers 9 out of 10 times, you want to take the first deal offered. Because that's going to be the time that the deal is higher than most of the cases. And percentage-wise, chances are it's a good deal. What are they doing?
That's kind of wild.
Yeah! And I'm going to have to watch this every week if I watch this show. Knowing that, and watch people screw it up! It's such a frustrating game now. Like, because with Deal or No Deal, like, it's kind of a fun thing where it's like, I'm going to take the deal. Oh no, that you could have won $1,000,000. Now you're only winning $158,000. Like, how sad can you be that, you know... They're winning $148,000. They didn't win $1,000,000, but they have a life-changing amount of money. In this, you could do everything perfectly. Get down to the 2 top amounts. And then take the deal, be wrong, and be like, yeah, you only added, you know, $758,000 to the grand prize that you can't win now.
Yeah, oh, that sucks.
Ugh. Which, this is also, like, the thing that's driving me crazy. And I don't know this. When we've recorded, we've only watched the pilot.
Yeah, the second episode has aired at time of recording.
Yeah, but we have not seen it. What they keep saying is, the person who wins the game, their prize is that they get to play one more game of Deal or No Deal. And all the money that they've won throughout all the other games of Deal or No Deal will be put in one case.
Right. That...
So there's a chance, and based off of the commercial, there's going to be cases over $1 million in play.
Right.
So in theory, this one case could be worth, let's say, $15 million. That's insane.
Yeah.
No one will ever win that.
No, because, like, what's the next case down?
Exactly. If the next case down is only seven or, yeah.
A million even.
Even a million. Like, your situation that you will end up being, best case scenario, if you get down to that major prize and $1 million, is an astronomical deal.
Yeah.
That you would be stupid not to take.
Yeah.
Because the deal's going to be somewhere like north of $4 million. It's, if you did this show 100 times, I'm telling you, no one will ever win the grand prize.
Yeah, I also admittedly find Deal or No Deal boring.
Deal or No Deal, like, it's just it's a frustration game. It's a game where you sit at home and put yourself in that situation and you always go, I can do better than him. Whether it's just like, it's stupid not to take the deal now, take the deal, or never take 12. 12 always has a high number in it.
No, see, I know for a fact that I would freak out and throw up on Howie Mandel's shoes and he wouldn't like that.
Oh, he would really not appreciate
it. I know.
He'd be real upset.
I know, and I'd feel really bad about it. It's not like I'd throw up on his shoes out of spite. I would just panic, get nervous, and...
So I will say, Aaron makes a good deal, and he sends the poker player home.
Yeah.
And the poker player, like, cries because the reason he's going home is he helped an old woman win $10,000.
Yeah.
And then, like, everyone gets up and hugs him. It's like, no, all you people don't like me. That's why I'm leaving. And then we get, like, the next time on Deal or No Deal Island. And there's just, like, these insane games. And this, to me, really shows today's state of reality shows.
Yeah.
It started with, like, here's a really cool game. It's a bunch of people on an island. Every day they got to vote someone out.
Okay.
Or it's a bunch of people in a house. One person gets to be in charge, nominate some people, and then they vote somebody out. Very simple. And then they realized, you know what really sells a good reality show? A twist. So Survivor started adding in twists. Like, surprise, people can come back now. Surprise, we're mixing up the tribes. Surprise, there's hidden immunity idols. So that has now progressed to a point where a reality show contest today is just twists.
Yeah, there's nothing else to it.
Like, you have no idea what tomorrow will bring. And you're all at the whim of the banker who might just decide to change the rules tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to build that, like, unpredictability of, like, well, you know, what's going to happen next? Anything could happen. Like, they hinted at some sort of game where Aaron was in charge and was dictating who got what case. And then they showed another game where they were, like, on a tightrope and it was exploding. Like, there's no way to strategize for this game because the game is at a whim of a bit.
There's no way in this system to try harder next time because you're at the whim of a bit.
Thank you, Brennan Lee Mulligan.
You're welcome.
I think about how this obviously is trying to, like, do a survive. It, it did remind me of Game Changer, but mm-hmm. like in a very, this feels like we have Game Changer at home.
Well,
I know this has the production values Game Changer could only dream of, but this felt like a knockoff of Game Changer in a lot of ways.
Because I think the big difference, if you don't know what Game Changer is, it's a game show on Dropout, which is a fantastic streaming service that I don't work for, but you should have. But you can watch some of the episodes for free on YouTube, where the game changes every time. And what works about that is Sam Reich, who created the show and is the game changer who changes the rules, is legitimately friends with the people who are playing. So every rule change, twist, loop-de-loop is all in good fun.
Yeah.
And kind of like cheering and jeering amongst friends. This, we're supposed to believe that the banker is actually like an adversary. And I'm not sure if they caught this. There's a moment where they tease that they're going to give away the identity of the banker.
Yes.
Like, it's going to be like one of the guys from Shark Tank or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's very dumb.
And like, and I understand like, ooh, it's a mystery. Who's the banker? But that is the exact epitome of what's wrong with this show. They are going to reveal who the banker is on this show, and it will change nothing.
Yeah, like now he's just a guy. Cool.
Like, even if it's a celebrity, even if you're like, oh, it's Mark Zuckerberg, that means I have to start. No, it doesn't change anything.
No, and like, it feels like it would be very transparently stunt casting. Like, it's going to be Joe Mangiello going, it was me the whole time. Ah.
And I guarantee you, at some point, there will be a moment where it's like, all right, your choice is between $1 million and $250,000. The banker has a deal for you. He will either give you $350,000 to take the deal, or he'll offer you $90,000 and immunity. That's 100% going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's 100% going to happen. And the problem with that is, I know game show law.
Not game show law.
Yes. It's important in game show
law. It's like bird law.
That everything is legitimate after the 21 scandal. You're aware of the 21 scandal?
Yes.
Yeah. For those of you who are not, there was a game called 21 where they were feeding the answers to contestants to create more drama.
There's a film called Quiz Show about this. Mm-hmm.
What happened after that was they had to legitimize game shows to make sure that you weren't changing the rules to give certain players unfair advantages. That is why every question that Billy Eichner asks on Billy on the Street is written beforehand and sealed in an envelope with what the rules are. So there was an envelope somewhere that just said,
for $1, name a woman.
That they legally had to show in the event someone was like, this game was rigged. Where's the rules? It was like, well, if you open the envelope that we had sealed before the show, it says clearly if you named a woman, we would give you $1. And if you didn't, we wouldn't. That being said, reality shows are now in this weird nebulous state where they're not really game shows. They're about building characters and telling stories, not real active competitions.
Yeah.
So it begs the question, and this is something I don't know. When that happens, is there an envelope somewhere that says, on episode 6 will be the first time we offer an immunity as a deal? Or are they just going to do it to save someone they don't want off the show, like Boston Rob, because he's going to bring all the ratings? I find this infinitely frustrating, this show.
So I immediately Googled reality show law. reality show, they contestants signed lengthy and complex contracts prior to filming. This is from the Columbia Law School Journal.
Mm-hmm.
They commonly include clauses requiring the contestant to fully participate in the show, doing almost anything that the producers request, release the production from any liability, mm-hmm. and acknowledge that defamatory and or offensive opinions about them may be included in the show. They don't really have a lot about how it's game show law based on this.
Yes, yeah, the rules of the game, like, because that's the fun thing to mess with, is like, fundamentally broken in this game. And because, like, if I was on this show and the first deal they offer me is 26 grand, but I know mathematically chances are that's a good deal, and I took the deal, the show's gonna be frustrated. Because the show now has to find another 6 to 18 minutes of show that they were expecting to be spent on the deal or no deal portion of the show.
Yeah, it's true.
And I've taken all the stakes out of it. Because that's how you should play. It's all, like, remember, I'm so upset. Remember when the kid was really good at Jeopardy?
Yeah.
And his way of playing was to try to find the daily doubles as quickly as possible and then not bet any money just to prevent other people from getting the daily doubles.
Yes.
And, like, they had all these talks where it's like, yeah, we pulled him aside because he was jumping all around on the categories and Alex doesn't like to have to look for the questions. It's like, yeah, but that's how the game should be played.
Yeah.
Just because I'm playing better doesn't mean you should come in and be like, nah, we don't like that. It's supposed to be a game. That being said, I don't want to watch another episode. You know what? I might watch another episode of this. Like, I don't have a lot of spare time, but I would watch another episode if I happened upon it. It's a Stay Doomed in terms of enjoyment. But the question is, will it get another season?
Thing with reality shows is reality shows are popular because they're cheap and they're strike-proof.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, I say they're strike-proof. Yahtzee is actually currently in talks. If Yahtzee goes on strike, there will be no content.
I don't know what...
Yahtzee they're the below-the-line folks. They're cameras, tech. Okay. So without them, nothing's happening.
No.
So
get super into podcasts.
Yeah, it's going to be podcasts, and suddenly Broadway's going to be like, hey, look at all these actors we
remember us when this happens. Or it has happened, and hi, I'm glad you were here to help you with your entertainment needs.
Yeah, hi, if it's later this year and Yahtzee's striking and you're desperate, sup.
Yeah, thanks for going through Stay Doomed's catalog.
So, but that's the only thing that could hurt a reality show.
Yeah.
Is those types, like those unions going on strike.
Mm-hmm.
Game show hosts are not in SAG. So, like, Joe Mangiello, with that contract, would have to do Deal or No Deal Island.
Mm-hmm.
Because game show hosts are a different contract.
Right.
So, and the show is probably, compared to a one-hour drama, probably quite cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And also easy to stretch.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing a 10-episode legal drama, let's say a one-hour or one-hour family drama, and I'm doing 10 episodes, I can't make it 12 by stretching.
Yeah.
I mean, think about your non-elimination legs in Amazing Race.
Yeah.
You can stretch an episode of Amazing Race or a season of Amazing Race anywhere between like 10 to 15 episodes based on what you got and what you need.
Yeah. There used to be a time where reality shows had a clip show episode. Like, right before the finale, they were like, let's have a look back at what got our final two contestants here.
Yeah, VH1 reality shows used to be really big with that.
Yeah, to me, what is 100% going to happen is they are not going to win the grand prize, but people are going to want to see someone win the grand prize.
Yeah.
And that's going to be enough for this to get a second season. Like, reaction online seemed kind of positive. They are advertising the crap out of it.
Yeah, like multiple minute-long advertisements on YouTube, like where they were just showing entire chunks of Deal or No Deal gameplay.
I think that's also, just to get on a small tangent, I think there's a new strategy with YouTube ads to make your ads just look like content, since people just leave YouTube on and YouTube autoplays things.
Yeah.
Because when something sounds like an ad, they're looking for the button to hit skip.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at their phones. They're not even really watching the YouTube video. But if they make it sound like it's just another video, people might watch the ad.
Yeah.
So that's a theory for another time.
Yeah, like if I'm walking around my house cleaning and I hear something and it doesn't bother me, I'm like, let it run.
Exactly.
But if it's like a sad dog, nope.
So, do you think this is going to get a second season?
I think it will because of the way reality shows run. Mm. It's fairly inexpensive. They were able to get like a Boston Rob, so if they can get like another higher profile reality star every season.
I mean,
like a Richard Hatch next year.
That's another great like point that like you can grab anyone and put them on this show, because it's not like when you put someone on Survivor, you're expecting them to
Survivor.
To Survivor, to tent, to, or not even tent, to like sleep outside, to look for food, to be hungry, and all this other, and do physical stuff. But Deal or No Deal Island, if a celebrity, not a like a reality show star, but like a movie star that doesn't have anything going on right now, walks up and goes, oh, I'd do this, you can make it the cushiest show. He can just be like, oh, Deal or No Deal Island is now on Pleasure Island. And have it be relaxing and pay that guy to be on the show.
Yeah.
And have him play the game.
Because reality show contestants are compensated.
Yes. And I'm sure Boston Rob's making more.
Yeah. Like, not very much. And contracts can be altered for specific contestants.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about this fairly recently. If you don't read Reality Tea, you should read Reality Tea, because as well as like recaps and news, they also do a lot of the discussions of like contracts. And I think I have a tab open right now with the Kid Nation contract, because I found that very interesting.
Mm.
But all reality show contestants are compensated. And generally, I don't know how to say this, decently compensated for a working or middle class person.
Yeah.
Like, where they're making four to low five figures. Which, for the amount of time and for what it is probably okay money.
Yeah.
For them for that time period. They're not making, like, they're barely making, like, day player money. Mm-hmm. But.
So, yeah, we both think that this will continue. So I dug this hole for nothing, but I'm sure something will get canceled and end up in my plot.
Yeah, I didn't really, this show barely held my attention. I had a hard time following it because I just didn't care.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Stay Doomed Clock.
The Stay Doomsday Clock?
The Stay Doomsday Clock. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, we're not sure what we're doing. By next week, Razzie should be out. Like, we already voted. So I believe the Razzie Awards are this weekend. So we will know which is the worst film of the year. We did not cover Exformables or Shazam.
Yeah.
I seriously doubt that they're going to win. If they win, we'll do them.
Yeah, but Shazam, I feel like, was too forgettable. Yeah. I'm surprised they even remembered it. That being said, we could be convinced eventually when it comes on streaming to do Madam Web.
Oh, yeah. Madam Web is a first ballot for next year for sure. That being said, not sure what we're doing next week. We got a busy week next week.
Yeah.
I got a big show in Baltimore if anybody wants to come down to Don't Blink at the Power Plant. So we don't know what we're doing next week for Stay Doomed, but we'll find out soon. It's a very exciting time here at Stay Doomed Studios.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys have enjoyed this. If there's another show that you think deserves to have a look at through the lens of the Stay Doomsday Clock, please let us know. So where can people find us?
You can email us at thestaydoomedshow@gmail.com or on Facebook and Twitter at Stay Doomed.
And if you hate the elimination method on Deal or No Deal Island, I'm at +2comedy on Twitter.
If you would be interested in a deep dive onto whatever contracts for reality shows I can find, I am at Priorities. Until next time, stay doomed.